I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in for the Book Club at 91.7 here on WVXU. Good morning. Local organic agriculture is flourishing not only here in the Cincinnati area, but around the country and around the world, too. That farm-to-table movement growing more and more popular every day. And farmers' markets popping up everywhere across the city. And leading the way in a trend is a number of young farmers who are trying out innovative ideas about farming. And one such young professional farmer has just put all the details needed to start your own organic garden into a book called The Market Gardener, a successful grower's handbook for small-scale organic farming. It gives me great pleasure to welcome J.M. Fortier to the Book Club at 91.7. Good morning, J.M.
Hey, good morning.
Well, I want to say that you and your wife are the founders of a micro farm located in eastern Quebec, just north of the American border. And you have just an acre and a half, but you're able to feed more than 200 families. When and how did this all begin?
Well, you know, the garden is about the size of a soccer field, or a football field, I should say, so that people get a, you know, imagine what it's, how big it is. And there's four of us farming full time on it. And we've been farming here since 2005, and we managed to do so because we don't have a tractor, and we use hand tools that are, you know, most gardeners don't know about, because these are tools that are coming from Europe and more specialized, you know, niches, but they're sophisticated in their design, and we use, you know, growing practices that are very intensive, so high-yielding practices and square-foot gardening and all these things that some gardeners might know about. What we did when we started the farm was to take these ideas and bring them at a commercial level.
And the commercial aspect is the one thing I wanted to bring around to the forefront, because that is something, you know, at least the perception of small farmers are that it's a very difficult, you know, very difficult work. You're worried about the vagaries of nature. And it's hard to make any money, but you spell out in the book how, you know, on just a quarter of an acre, you did $20,000 in sales in the first year that you were doing this.
Yeah, that's when we started. We were just having a big garden, and we would bring stuff to market, and there was a big response back there and then, and that was encouraging for us to grow a bigger garden. And so the next year we had a bigger garden, and we were living in a teepee back then, and we had a, you know, one-year-old boy, and we had just came back from New Mexico, and we were farming around Santa Fe, and it was just a great scene for the local food movement, and we came back to Quebec, wanted to do that. And at one point, we thought, you know what, we want to do this for a living, so we bought the farm here, and we just kind of did the same thing, but on a much bigger scale, and we bought the right tools, and all the right, you know, techniques and the know-how that we had learned kind of gelled into this micro farm that we created. And I guess we've been demonstrating that farms don't need to be big to be profitable and successful ever since. And the book was kind of like telling the story of why it works and how it works. And hopefully, you know, the book is in, the idea is to empower other people to start their own and to farm successfully themselves.
Well, I don't know if I want to become a market gardener, but I certainly am, you know, at least a small-time vegetable grower. And there are a lot of tips here in your book about properly preparing the soil. You inform us about many practices. You were talking about biointensive planting. That's something I've been doing for quite a few years. Also, raised beds, the importance of raised beds. And the movement away from mechanical farming, because you do say that the limiting mechanical investments is part of what has made your farm work.
Yeah, that's always funny. People, I tell them, we don't have a tractor, and then they're like, why? I say, well, because we want to make money farming. They're like, what? Well, on our scale, you know, if you have a tractor, you're scaling things to the tractor. And tractors are made for bigger farming, and the fact that the farm is small here and it's more manageable and it's easier to manage because it is smaller, and when you're growing, you know, from 40 to 50 different crops at the same time, management is really key here because there's a lot of things going on at once. And this is all possible because we're direct selling to Farmers Market and to CSA. And so it's, you know, there's a big difference between a home gardener and a market gardener because this is our livelihood. And if there's a crop failure, if, you know, certain veggies get diseased or sick, then, you know, there's a big loss for us in our pocketbook. But and that's what people told me. You know, they've read the book. Some have been gardening for 40 years, and they read The Market Gardener, and they're like, well, I learned so many new things. And that's the reason. The reason is because we're doing this professionally, and so we need to be cutting edge on all the practices and the tools, because in the end, that's what makes our income.
J.M. Fortier, the author of The Market Gardener, a successful grower's handbook for small-scale organic farming. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And instead of using a tractor and those mechanized growing systems, you mentioned the tools that you use, and these are not expensive tools. It's not a $500,000 combine. It's a $200 broad fork, or, you know, a stirrup hoe. And you do make it clear that while these tools help in the farming process, it still requires some work.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I wouldn't say that farming is not hard work, because it is. But, you know, if you're farming smart and if you really know what you're doing, and geez, we've learned so many things through the years, and if you have a good design when you start, you know, when the farm is laid out right, and you have the appropriate technology for farming on small scale, you can make a living, but you can also make it, you know, a good livelihood, a good life, because, you know, we have a quality of life here on the farm that I wouldn't trade for high salaries working in an office downtown, you know, because we're outside, we're doing applied ecology every day. When we're working, you know, we're not listening to the ding of an engine. We're listening to the birds that are singing, because we don't have, you know, motorized equipment. And we go to market and people are thanking us and they're buying from us. And, you know, it's so positive that I felt that I wanted to share some of that. And because, you know, I really feel that our world needs more farmers. And the thing is, if you want to start a farm, it's kind of daring and haunting, because you're thinking that you need, you know, a big piece of land, a heavy infrastructure, a lot of equipment, but actually you don't. And that's the cue in the book.
Well, you do state clearly in the book that you are trying to provide aspiring farmers with a tool to help them start their business. And this does, down to, you have a number of great tables and charts in the book, everywhere from laying out your market garden to how to rotate the crops through the different beds, and right down to typical annual sales, talking about, you know, what stuff costs to both produce and what you can sell it for. And that's something I was surprised at, JM, because usually you don't see that level of detail. But you did point out in the introduction that your father taught you the importance of being well organized. So I guess that's just a symptom of that, right?
Yeah, well, it's definitely an important tool, and he's with me today, helping out with the accounting and everything. And yeah, you know, we have a garden and we're outside, but we're this is also a business. And you know, I think that when we were younger, and we're still young, we were looking at this as something that was, because we thought it was the right thing to do, and we wanted to make a change in the world somehow. And but the business side of it is important, because by showing that you can be both ecological and financially sustainable, I think it makes it even more serious to other people to look up to these, you know, cropping systems. And so there's room for both, and we've learned so many things through the years. So I'm just really happy to be sharing and passing along this to newcomers that might be pretty green with all of this.
Well, you mentioned starting small, and you talk about the biointensive planting and the raised beds and soil quality and water access and standardizing the garden layout, all these great informational tips about making sure your garden is in good shape. But what recommendations do you have for beginning farmers, you know, at the top of the list? What do you consider the most important thing that they should really think about?
Yeah, well, you're not the first person to ask me that question. And my answer is pretty funny, because I would say read the market gardener. Pretty self. What I mean by this is that if I had a book like this when I started farming, it would have saved me years and years and years of trial before getting things right. And because when you're starting a farm or starting, you know, a market gardening or just selling vegetables for market, there's so many things involved that just to have a broader understanding of everything that it involves helps you plan better for what's ahead of you, especially in the winter. And so a book like that tells you the ins and outs of a specific cropping system, one, you know, veteran grower telling you how he does things from start to finish in details and telling you why and how, I think can help people better understand what they need, what they need to plan, what they need to do, what kind of equipment they need, and then they can go on there and make their own experience. But at least they have somewhat of a model to look up to or to follow. And so the other advice is go work, if you want to be serious about this, go work on an organic farm for at least one full season before starting your own. Because, again, farming is hard work, and you need to, you know, will you be happy on your knees? Perhaps you might be, because I am. You know, I'd rather be kneeling in the ground than sitting in front of a computer screen all day. And you're not kneeling all day. But so just to have this experience of a full season under your belt, and then you can start your own market garden and expand from there.
Well, of course, all this food is heading towards the table, and You speak in the book a little bit about this, but I want to hear it in your own words. The importance of feeding people locally, why it's important for folks to enjoy that food that's grown close to home.
Yeah, that's the key thing here, because, you know, our line of work, we're demonstrating that we don't need to rely on the globalized economy to feed our communities. You know, we can grow things locally, we can keep the money in the community, and, you know, the big difference is, you know, we grow food with care, and we care, and we know the people that we're selling to. And I think that as we exist, there's people that are appreciative of this, and that's what they want, and we grow quality vegetables, and we make, you know, we take pride in that. And it's craftsmanship, and I think people recognize that, and that's what they want, and they meet us every week. And that's what this whole, you know, good food revolution is about. It's about localizing the food economy and to have, you know, sustainable farms. And I, you know, I'm perhaps not the best person to talk about all this, but I just feel it's so important. And I think this is like, it's the thing of our era. I think it's like perhaps like the civic movement was in the 60s. I think the local food movement is really important for the you know, for where we're heading at.
Well, from the crop notes in the back in the appendix to all the tips that you have throughout the book, great information here about making a small-time organic garden work and work in a big way. Thank you for your time and knowledge here too, J.M.
I really appreciate it, and yeah, have a good winter, guys.
J.M. Fortier, who along with his wife run a micro farm in eastern Quebec, just north of the American border. You can learn more about his book, The Market Gardener, A Successful Grower's Handbook for Small-Scale Organic Farming, by visiting our website, wvxu.org. A lot of great information and real-life numbers in there, too, if you're an aspiring farmer. A lot of great advice from J.M. Check it out online, wvxu.org, The Market Gardener. The Book Club at 91.7.
Hello, I'm Rich Batterbury from Amberley Village. Right now, I'm reading Bully Pulpit by Dolores Kearns Goodwin. It's a fascinating book. It's the story of Teddy Roosevelt and William Howard Taft. What makes it fascinating, among things, is the change in the relationship of these two gentlemen over their lives. They both came to Washington about the same time and were very, very good friends, worked closely together. And by the end, as Roosevelt went through his presidency and then basically turned the presidency over to Taft, the relationship cooled. Actually, the relationship soured, and they weren't good friends at the end of their lives.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Spriggs. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, but I live in Brooklyn, New York now, and I'm currently reading Going Clear by Lawrence Wright. I really like Going Clear because Scientology is really interesting to me, and it really delves into the whole history of it and talks about L. Ron Hubbard's life from the very beginning of, like, when he was like a really terrible science fiction writer on into when he was like this billionaire kind of controlling this really strange religion that he like kind of feel like he half-assed.
My name's Gemma. I'm from a suburb of Columbus. I just finished Complications, A Surgeon's Note on an Imperfect Science by Atul Gawande, and he talks about the mistakes that surgeons make and why they make them. I like that. I like those kinds of books. I like science books.
Hi, I'm Gara from Mount Washington, and right now I am reading Grim Shadows by Jen Bennett. It is the sequel to Bitter Spirits. It's a really fantastic read, paranormal, historical romance. It's got everything, and it's actually set in the 1920s in San Francisco. So its setting, kind of along with all of the other elements that it mashes up together, makes it a really engaging read.
You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7.